From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know in the new year. Congratulations to you, specifically you. If you are hearing this now, you made it through 2021, which is not a thing everybody can say.
It's true.
It's something anyone could say, but not everyone would necessarily mean.
All right. I like that angle.
Let's just stay optimistic, guys. We definitely made it through 2021, which was a really neat year.
The four of us are recording this in the very last week of the year, so we all have to be super careful to make sure that we're able to hear this in 2022 as well. But you know, it's been a crazy, you know, we already did talk a little bit at the very end of the year about all the difficult things that have happened with us and with our fellow listeners, with the entire Stuff They Don't Want You Know family. And we're just so glad that you are hanging out with us. We have some very, very strange news here. It's funny, maybe a way to get into today's conversation. Noel, you know, Matt and I, earlier, we're just shooting the breeze and we're talking about, Teslas. And there are a lot of Teslas now in Atlanta where we record this podcast. And I had that moment, you guys know I'm a gearhead kind of, and I had that moment where I was like, I don't know, man, I think maybe I could one day like buy a used Tesla. And then, we started talking about, you know, just briefly, it's weird, folks. It is weird when Matt, Noel and I, or Paul and Codename Doc and I, when we hang out off air, our conversations sound like shorthand sometimes because we already know our positions on something. Like, well, like, Matt, what was it? We're like, yeah, but you can't repair it. You can't fix a Tesla, right? And then I think we both just had the Right to Repair segments and episodes just streaming through our minds. And like, if anybody had been standing next to us in that conversation, it would sound like we were just speaking in keywords for a second, you know?
Yeah, we like to speak in Google searches to outsiders. That's what we do on this show quite often.
I mainly like to speak in tongues. And by the way, per your knocking on wood request for us it to the end of the year officially, I've just decided I'm not going to leave my house. But you never know. I mean, a jet engine could crash into my house. And speaking of that, no spoilers at all. Anyone that's looking for a new TV show to watch that is about a pandemic but not a bummer, I highly recommend this show, Station 11. It is so good, you guys. And they drop two new episodes every... Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so good. They dropped two new episodes this past Thursday, and I'm just absolutely obsessed. And I kind of realized I like appointment viewing. I think during the pandemic, we all kind of got like spoiled by binging stuff. But I really like having to wait, like a cliffhanger, a proper cliffhanger. It's good for your constitution, you know. But you're right, Ben. We talk a lot about the right to repair on the show. It is sort of a hot button issue for certain people. People kind of resent being told what they can and can't do to their property. And you can get your Tesla repaired, but you literally have to get permission to do it, like from Tesla, or get it, you know, done at a Tesla service center. And as we know, batteries in these things can be incredibly expensive. And Ben, if you were in the market for a used Tesla, you may well be looking at a 2013 Model S. Until you hear the full details of the story, perhaps, because a Finnish man named Tomas Katainen, he ran into a real kind of quandary, a conundrum, with old Tesla, with old Elon. Not directly, you know, but we'll just consider this. He's watching down on the proceedings from on high, you know, from in his space capsule or whatever, wherever he's orbiting. So this guy, Katainen, he really liked the Tesla. He clocked it in at about 932 miles or 1,500 kilometers, where he thought the car ran excellently, really enjoyed the vehicle. But then all of a sudden, after 932 miles, which is nothing, a blip, he started getting all these error codes and the car started like stalling out and all kinds of weird things happened. And he brought it to a Tesla dealer, like you have to do. And they kept it for more than a month before they let him know, hey, buddy, so about that Model S that you dropped off, we can't really do anything for you. Unfortunately, you're going to have to pay $22,600, that's USD, for a brand new battery.
Oh, no.
After 900 and change miles driving this very, very expensive car. It looks like a Model S used in Finland today is just a little more than $42,900. So he's about halfway there.
That's
replacing the battery.
That's way lower than I thought it would be.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I think we probably could maybe that's just in Finland. I don't know if they would be more or less expensive in Finland. I'm not really sure how that works.
Do we know what year his is? It's
2013.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do we know how many miles were on it prior to him getting it or anything like that? Like how much use? Do you know what I mean?
You know, that's a little confusing, guys, because for it to only have 932 miles, I'm not sure if that means it was from zero. That surely doesn't mean that. So it sounds like he got it used in the first place. So it already had some miles on it. He drove it for 932 miles on top of whatever was on the odometer before that, before we started having problems. But that's not detailed particularly well in this story. So apologies for the confusion there. But I can't imagine that it would have been like a purely zeroed out brand new Tesla. Although it's a little unclear. But the point is this. He was very annoyed, understandably, because like you said, I mean, like I said, a used Model S in Finland now goes for about $42,900, and they're asking him to fork out $22,600 for this brand new battery, and that would probably be just for the part, like not even for the labor, I'm assuming there. So he kind of came up with, he had a brainstorm, he had kind of one of those like brain light bulb moments, you know, and he decided, you know what, F*** Tesla. And Elon Musk and the, you know, iron sci-fi horse that he rode in on with laser eyes. And I'm not going to get this car repaired at all. I am, in fact, going to team up with some demolition experts and YouTubers and blow the thing to hell with somewhere in the neighborhood of 66 pounds of dynamite, which, by the way, you guys, you know, the dynamite's pretty cheap. It's just a couple bucks a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nuts for something that's so destructive that it's like so affordable? And he did just that. And there's a really great video that you can see if you go to YouTube and just like type in the name of the channel. It's a little hard to pronounce. It's a Finnish. Thank you for being the one to butcher that one and saving me. Yeah. Mikski Mies Rajati. Teslana is the name of the video. So you can check that out on YouTube. I'm sorry, that was just the headline from the you know, the still, the tile or whatever. But the actual account is called Pommijatkat. And don't forget about the umlauts there. It's spelled P-O-M-M-I-J-A umlaut, T-K-A umlaut. I think that's probably Pommijatkat because of the umlaut. And that roughly translates to bomb dudes. If you pop that into Google Translate.
Wonderful.
And by the way, the original reporting on this is from a really cool article in Gizmodo by Jody Serrano. And I've seen it picked up a couple other places, but that was the one that I looked at for this and got turned on to the clip. And the clip is incredible. First of all, these guys are like Mythbusters level precision demolition dudes. I mean, really, it's obviously their thing. They essentially fasten like these giant bundles of TNT, and it's not the kind of TNT. It's not your grandpapa's TNT, mind you. It's not like the sticks with the fuses. It looks sort of like giant casings of sausage, you know. And they actually screw them on to the side of the car all the way around, 360 degrees, you know, with maybe like a foot spaced in between. And they're long enough that they go from the top of the body, like, right under the window, to the bottom, right below the door.
And they're sequenced. They're strung together.
Exactly. They are one chain reacts with the next one and so on. And the cool thing is, like, these guys are pros. They film it from multiple angles with these really, really, really high def, like overcranked, like phantom cameras. I'm not a super camera nerd, but I think those are pretty fancy. And you get to see it blow up in spectacular fashion. Like, it literally, there's nothing left. And they even talk about in the video, like, how they have to plan it because they have to figure out what the direction of the shockwave will be because there's a lot of TNT, and also which direction the explosion is. Excuse me, by the way, I said 360 degrees. That's not true. It's only loaded up on one side, and that is literally so they can control the direction of the explosion. If it's going to explode from one side outward in the other direction, which is facing a rock wall, they did this in a really, really cool old quarry in a small town called Jala, which is a very rural town in the southern part of Finland.
And 30 kilograms for anybody in the U.S., 30 kilograms of dynamite is 66 pounds. So they're not messing around here. Also, we have to point out something for anybody who's not familiar with Scandinavian countries, with Finland in particular. It is crazy expensive to buy a car there in the first place. You know, there's a lot of taxation, you know, that the government is structured differently. But part of it, I think, is due to a very high tax they have for road maintenance because it's such a hostile environment. So this guy is, just so you know, like, this is even more of a flex, folks. It's not as though Matt just bought a used Tesla in the U.S. and then blew it up at like a Matt, what would be the kind of party where you would blow up a Tesla in a celebratory manner?
Probably just a New Year's party. That's when I would do it.
But maybe how about one of those gender reveal parties? Maybe doing some real tall dry grass.
There you go.
On a hill in California. That'd be fun and smart.
I can't imagine that if this 2013 model is worth almost $43,000 in Finland right now, that you couldn't salvage something from it and actually make some money back. But I guess I'm trying to imagine how much YouTube money you can actually make.
That's actually what I was about to bring up. The video has almost 5 million views. And what did we say? A million views equals about $1,000. Typically, I think that's a metric I'd heard in the past. I don't know if that's true, if it's higher or lower. So not a ton of money compared to the 24,000. Not clear what this dude does for work. I mean, he bought a Tesla in Finland. He's probably not hurting for money. I think he did it more as like an FU, like I said, to Elon and then the whole, you know, Tesla operation. In the video, they actually like there's a helicopter involved. They drop an effigy of Elon Musk wearing a helmet from a helicopter and then put him in the passenger seat. So they're all, not only are they blowing up a Tesla, they're blowing up, literally burning alive an effigy of Elon Musk. So maybe there's some witchcraft going on here too, perhaps some sort of ritualistic thing. I don't know. It does appear to be more about the gesture than about making YouTube money. 5 million views, though, is nothing to sneeze at. And this only came out on December 17th. So in the life of the video, I don't know if they made a deal, you know. He obviously made some kind of deal to let them blow up his Tesla. He's probably getting a cut of that, I would imagine. But again, it doesn't seem like he's in it for the money. It seems like he's in it for the spectacle. Because at the end of the video, they ask him something along the lines of, is it better to have a working Tesla or exploding the car with 66 pounds of dynamite? And he says, sort of both. Maybe more explosion. Maybe more explosion. So, yeah. That's the story. I fully embrace this dude's flex here. And I think this is an interesting way of making a statement and putting your foot down, you know, with old Papa Elon. But, you know, takes all kinds.
We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more strange news.
All right, we're coming back, and we just need to keep talking about this whole Tesla thing. There's more to it. Let's jump in. Just to make a really quick point here that not related directly to this, I'm thinking about these newer vehicles that are all electric or a hybrid system, something that is way more complicated than a normal, you know, combustion engine vehicle, where there's kind of a bar. It's not a low bar, but it's an achievable bar where you can, just you listening to this or any of us, could repair a car to some extent if we could get access to parts, you know, that's a traditional combustion engine vehicle. But with one of these newer cars, it's so much more difficult just due to the specificity of parts and how they function together, right? The number of actual working parts and the number of those that are electronic. I'm imagining us, we're talking about predictions for 2022 and beyond, just like where we're headed when it comes to access to not only, you know, money, but access to
proprietary tools, for example, you know, like software. Maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And a lot of the bad things that we can kind of see on the horizon where it's going to lessen, I think, many people's access to being able to do things like paying a lot of money to repair a vehicle. But we also need to do those things. At least that's what, you know, we believe in order to save ourselves. So like we're really great at finding ourselves in catch 22s across the board.
Oh, yeah. You know, I started reading some of the comments on the Gizmodo article, and then there's definitely a good back and forth going on about this very thing. Drips says on the comments, have to ask permission to fix his own bloody car. What backwards ass nonsense is this? If I told my dad this story, he'd lose his shit. He repairs classic cars and is always complaining about new stuff. This might be one of the few times I agree with them. To which someone replies, and I think they're making a point here, ask any farmer about repairing modern farm machinery. Because as we know, that was a big part of the whole right to repair thing too, is that a lot of like John Deere and these more modern tractors are starting to use more electronic components, and you do have to ask their permission or get them to do it. And farmers don't like that because, you know, it's sort of an old school profession, and you want to be able to like be self-sufficient. That makes you feel like you're not, and you're like beholden to some corporation.
That's one of the really challenging things about this. We've received some great correspondence from people who work in agricultural communities or agricultural industries who are confirming the same thing. Now, obviously, here it's stuff they don't want you to know. We've talked extensively about the idea of the right to repair. I think this just shows us, sure, it's a flex, right? It's ostentatious. It is something that the majority of people living in Finland or even the world probably could not afford to do, even if they wanted to. I don't think there are a ton of people who are in the blow up cars for fun echelon of society, at least not, you know, new, nice cars. But what this means is that we are seeing in microcosm the larger frustration of consumers. Like, do you actually own a Tesla if you buy one? Like, do you actually own anything if you are required to continually pay, not just for maintenance, but you're required to continually pay for things that are, honestly, in terms of materials, should be free, like software updates? Like, why are there things that you have to unlock? Like, you guys remember back in the day when more people were buying video games on disc, you would get a disc in some cases that had all the stuff for the game, all the stuff you could ever imagine, but you would have to pay. What's the bad one? Is it EA? Are they the
EA people don't care for? Activision people don't care for? Blizzard right. people don't care for?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was already on the disc. You, as the consumer,
Rockstar. None of the big video game companies are particularly known for being very kind and cuddly to their employees or their users. Because, Ben, to your point, nowadays, they used to have to release a game and it was done because you couldn't patch it because it wasn't connected to the internet. Now, they can put out half-finished garbage like that Cyberpunk debacle because they know that they can patch it. And they'll rush it out to meet the holiday demand, and then they'll put out a half-finished buggy piece of crap. Not everyone.
But yeah, I think we're all on the same page here. The idea is that you are paying more for someone to flip a switch, essentially. Yes. Of course, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into this, that the argument is that's what you're paying for. But also, I got to say this, I know it'll be controversial. Like, yes, Elon Musk is not a perfect person. Yes, Tesla as a company has problems, but all you have to do is like look through history at the times people other than the big three car manufacturers tried to make cars. They were shut the f- down multiple times. It is very difficult to create a realistic, feasible, sustainable car that doesn't also rely on existing infrastructure like, you know, like the oil trade or various sweetheart deals with steel manufacturers. So I'm just saying, in defense of Tesla, they did something extraordinary and amazing. And in defense of our Finnish friend here, because I like his vibe, $22,000 for a battery. Why am I whispering? Elon Musk doesn't listen to this show. $22,000. That's crazy. I don't know if it's
probably. I mean, almost certain. Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, like, you know, is it made of magic and gold and platinum or something? I mean, I just, you know, I'm sure there's materials costs. I mean, you know, you pay for what you get. Like, it's definitely. But also, why is it failing? You know, why you think. See, I wish we had a little more information. I wish we knew if he bought the thing brand spanking new off the lot and it was 930 something miles and then it failed. If that's the case, that would be grounds for a lawsuit. I mean, that's insane. They would have to that would be a lemon law, I would think, would protect someone against getting gypped to that degree. The only thing I can assume is that it was used and he drove it for 900 something miles past what it was already at. That's the only thing that makes any sense. But
somebody put it up for sale after the battery started giving him problems. Yeah, probably. That's what happened, dude.
Probably. So if that's the case, a little less sympathetic for this guy. You know what I mean? If he got an aftermarket car without a warranty, then yeah, he's probably going to have to pay what he's going to pay.
Well, you know, you guys got me on the car vibe here, but I'll sew it up real quick. Well, there's one thing that I think could be instructive here to give us some context on his perspective, because this is still, you know, newer technology. It's a new car company or newer car company. Back when automatic transmissions were mainstreamed, folks started around like the 60s, mid-1950s, they started trading in their automatic transmission cars when they hit about 30,000 miles, because that's when parts of the transmission started messing up. And it was literally cheaper to just buy a new car than to start having to continually fix your transmission. So he clearly made a calculation. I mean, he's a smart guy. I don't know. I would love to hear from someone else who's blown up a car in a healthy situation.
I blew up my car just by not taking proper care of it.
In my
younger, stupider, less responsible car ownership days, I had a Volkswagen Golf, and I literally drove it into the ground and left and abandoned it at an auto place, like I had it towed or something, and it was in the middle of nowhere, and I ended up getting picked up, and I just never went back and got it. I'm not proud, but it just was pouring black smoke, and it was always overheating at stoplights and horrible things, but now I treat my sweet, sweet Honda Fit with all the love and affection that it deserves.
Ben, you made the point about the car makers like going up against the big car makers, like a new person in town. Well, I don't know if you've seen the news about Rivian in Georgia and how in this car manufacturer startup is building a $5 billion factory in Georgia, our state where we live, and they are going to make electric vehicles. Specifically, there's a Rivian electric truck that's made the rounds. And it's so strange to me in this world right now. They are considered the third largest car manufacturer in the world. They've got $0 in revenue. You can read about that on CNET right now. You can search for that. You can search about how they just went public and they've got all of this money, but they haven't begun to make any vehicles yet. But they're building a $5 billion place to build these special vehicles that nobody's seen yet.
That reminds me a lot of a company called Workhorse that did something very similar. They had yet to build they had like a prototype version or something like that, but it was these electric vans, and they had a they were up for a big government contract through the U.S. Postal Service, and then they didn't get it and their stock tanked. And it's similar to what you're talking about. They had like facilities, they were claimed to be ready to move, but they actually had never made a single vehicle yet or something. Very, very weird. And then that, I haven't followed up on that story, but that was a big debacle for that company.
The emperor has no clothes.
Exactly.
Oh, well, dear.
As it turns out, a lot of nuance and stuff to discuss within this story that is ultimately on the surface kind of goofy. So thank you guys for all the different directions we took this. And now let's take ourselves in the direction of an ad break, and then we'll be back with more strange news.
And we have returned. Now, this is a new year for us. It's a new year for all our fellow listeners, all the stuff they don't want you to know, gang, as well. So we wanted to spend some time talking about new things. We've got some. we've got one story we actually decided to hold for an episode in the future. Spoiler alert, things are getting very Judge Dredd in a non-cool way over across the Pacific. Stay tuned for that. For now, we were thinking we would do something a little bit, I would say inspiring, a little bit exciting. There is currently a great debate, and you've heard it on this show before, fellow conspiracy realists, about the future of human interaction with technology. Will humans all become cyborgs? Will humans all become inherently Gnostic with some digital version of them living almost separately from the physical version?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
And yes again. A thousand times yes.
And kudos to Matt also, man, for making the choice not to go to the theater to see The Matrix. I was on the fence too.
That was a tough decision, and I'm glad that you made the same one so I didn't feel so bad.
Yeah, and Noel, you didn't go to the theater for The Matrix yet, did you?
No, I didn't. I started watching it. I watched about the first 10 minutes or so, and then I kind of just drifted off. I'm not saying I'm not going to revisit it. I do hope to enjoy it. I'm not as big of a Matrix head as some, but I'm excited to give it a shot. I'm hearing mixed things, but I definitely am going to. I want to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, this is what, like, the first time in my life I avoided spoilers, which is a very weird place for me to be. But anyhow. One of the things that we talked about with the future of technology, when we are going to the future here, was how silly it may seem to future generations to hear us telling stories about interacting with technology with our hands. Very soon, within your lifetime as you're listening to this, it is quite possible that typing on a keyboard may seem as archaic as using a landline rotary phone. For anyone younger in the audience who doesn't know what those are, phones used to just be these single function devices. And instead of a keypad, you would have this weird little circle. And you would turn that circle clockwise to put it exactly, to put in numbers. And that already sounds so old, but we're reaching a hands-free future now for the first time in official human history. A man who was paralyzed, a human being who was paralyzed, was able to post a tweet without their hands, without the use of any body part other than the brain. So congratulations to Philip O'Keefe in Australia. Philip is 62 years old. Philip has a condition called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and he was, with the help of a brain implant, able to make a tweet through the power of thought alone. He manifested it, you could say.
Wow. That's yes. pretty cool. So how does this doodad work?
So this is a thing called a brain computer interface, or BCI, because we're all weirdly in love with acronyms here. This goes back to our Elon Musk conversation, because the technocrats of the world very much want to do things like this. The Musk, the Zuckerbergs, the Bezos of the world. His implant comes from a company called Synchron, and they want to develop this implant as a, think of it like a prosthetic, right? Like if you are missing a hand and you're relatively privileged, you can get any number of prosthetic devices that will attempt to perform some of the functions of your biological late hand. In this case, they're putting this prosthetic, that's the way they would like to describe it, this implant as a, they're putting this prosthetic into his brain to replace some of the other functions that he's lost due to his condition.
Do you think that's an optics thing, Ben? Like a PR thing? Implant sounds too creepy and sci-fi?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that too. You know, we live in a world where people are rightly skeptical often about invasive technology, right? And sometimes you'll hear people phrasing a vaccine as an invasive technology. That mm-hmm. was quite controversial for a while. And that's because of things like the Tuskegee experiments, just to be very candid. With this idea, you know, we talked about the concept of ad-supported implants. Remember that? It was a number of months ago, I think. We were all sort of thought experimenting. We were exploring the idea of an implant that would allow you access to the internet. And it gets very Black Mirror. What was that episode where the guy has to watch ads?
Well, it's a number of merits was the name of the in-game currency that allows you to skip the ads by spending these merits, and you earn them by doing an exercise bike that I think turns out powers the world. Sorry, spoiler. I think that's pretty much known.
Well, he gets a YouTube show at the end or some version thereof. But this conversation we had really stuck with me. We were talking about that kind of devil's bargain, that kind of Faustian deal. You know, you don't have to type anything. You don't have to have a physical device with you. You just have to sit through an ad for the new $22,600 Tesla Model S battery before you can hear the weather or the news. I also have the guy's tweet if you would like to hear that.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It is pretty awesome. This is coming from Thomas Oxley. Thomas Oxley is not the guy with the implant. Thomas Oxley is the Synchron CEO. The tweet that you see, which is from O'Keefe, it just says, "No need for keystrokes or voices. I created this tweet just by thinking it. Hashtag Hello World BCI." I don't know. I mean, things are different now. Now that we know this is feasible and possible, there are going to be a lot of eyes on O'Keefe to see what his cognitive development is like, to see whether this affects him. But I'm going to say it. I'm torn, guys. I see this as profoundly inspiring, and it could be amazing for so many people. But it's also kind of dangerous. I think a lot of people have impulse problems. I've woken up in the past and like looked back on the day before and thought, glad I kept that one in drafts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I agree. What we need to talk about is how it physically functions, how the technology functions. Can we do that, Ben, quickly?
Yeah. Let's walk through it.
So when you're going to get one of these things, let's say like this person we're discussing today, you have ALS and you're unable to, you know, function the way you used to function or would like to function with your
This is a condition that causes like full body paralysis, right? In its advanced stages.
Yes, exactly. So you've got something like that, or maybe you're just like you right now, whatever your system, however your system functions, they would go in and they said they went through his jugular vein.
Yikes. And how do they keep you from bleeding out when they do a thing like that? I'm sure they cauterize it as it goes or whatever, but it's definitely a dangerous procedure, I imagine.
I've been over here wincing a little bit. I have problems with internal body stuff, but go through, and across the top of the brain, there's this like mesh strip that kind of lays there. Mm-hmm. And somehow, beyond me, the things that your brain does, the signals your brain sends in order to achieve movement still occur. This thing picks it up, but then down through your body, in your chest, inside of your body, there's a wire that goes down, and then implanted under your skin, there's a little like a magnetized thing here. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then in order to actually use this system, you have a separate machine that has a transmitter on it and a little piece that connects to that thing that's in your chest. And then that's what's physically sending signals to another device attached to your computer or your network, right?
Yeah. And it's about the size of a matchstick. The actual Stentrode itself.
There's a great picture of it on the Independent article that you linked to us in your notes, Ben.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't look like something you would want inside you. I'm just going to make that call. Like, it doesn't. That's the thing. This is not super convenient at this point, but this idea is an older idea, but for it to actually happen changes a great deal of industries in ways that we can't understand. This is so new that human civilization, the smartest apes around, still, I would guess, have no idea what future applications of this could be. It could be deep brain stimulation for Parkinson's. If you look at that Independent article we mentioned, you will see exactly how this system works. I would say you could call it, counting the human, you could call it kind of a five component system. You have to have a computer, right? You have to have an eye tracker on that computer. You have to have the SCU, signal control unit. You have to have this implant, and you have to have that thing going into your vein. The thing is, this is not convenient. This is not something you're going to see Instagram influencers do as a flex just yet. But it works so quickly. After they put it in, it took about 4 hours for it to input text on a computer. And O'Keefe received this in April of 2020. So he's had it for a while before he was tweeting on December 23rd, 2021. And that's just so, I don't know, it seems like too powerful. Unless there was a way to make sure that, you know, someone's mind didn't wander while they were thinking their tweet or while they were thinking their comment on a forum, etc. This feels like it would make things potentially very awkward. Like, as soon as you can transmit images rather than text, you'll run into some weird stuff. Also, this is maybe the first in the field in this regard, but it's a harbinger. It's not a novelty.
Yeah.
One of the other things Tesla is working on is the Neuralink, which starts human trials this year.
Mm. I got to say, when I first read that tweet, Ben, I couldn't help but think about what was the line that Alexander Graham Bell said down the line on the first ever phone call that was transmitted. It was like, come, I need help or something. He had like spilled some acid or something like that. This made me think of that. This just is, I mean, you know, it's a different can of worms, but it certainly is historical. And for people like this guy who actually need this to be able to function comfortably, I think this is incredible. But you're right, all these impulse NFT bro weirdos that just want to like shove a brain computer in there for funsies, that concerns me.
Mm-hmm. And there's already been, just for the record, there's already been an extensive extensive body of work on applying this technology to non-human animals. Like a macaw monkey has been able to play rudimentary video games using these kind of transmission devices. It's coming. It's on the way is the point.
Yeah. If you go to the, what's the name of the company, Ben? Synchron. Synchron. Mm-hmm. If you go to their website, you linked us to that, Ben, and you can find, if you click on, I think, technology, you can see all of this laid out, how it actually functions. And I'm imagining, I may be wrong here, but from the images and text on their website, I'm imagining that this functions a lot like the interface Stephen Hawking had with his mouth, where he could move a cursor, essentially, because it's showing, it looks like a text box, right, where you've got A through Z, 0 through 9, comma, period, and then using this Neuralink, you can, you know, your mind is just inputting a single character at a time, the way you would be typing if you were just using one finger. I'm just like, right now, it seems like they're putting things in place that will limit some of the things, you know, you're talking about, Ben, like, oh, there's an image that now gets published on my Instagram page or something, but you can totally see how that, you know, take it two or three steps down the line and that's, whoops, that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And there's a really interesting story with the creator of Stentrode and Synchron, Oxley himself. He's a neurologist and he is also working on the idea of applying this technology to physical movement, by which I mean, like, imagine if you are paralyzed from the neck down, what if this could allow you to operate a motorized wheelchair? Or what if this could, because exoskeletons are on the way too. Don't forget about that, folks. What if this could allow you to operate an exoskeleton of some sort?
I
think we're all still processing this because it is so new. It is so fraught with potential danger and potentially amazing noble things. With this, we would love to hear your ideas. Do you think you're the kind of person who could have a brain implant and not, like, accidentally post fart jokes on your social media? You know, like the butt dialing of the future is a whole new ball game.
Sorry, bro. I just mind dialed you by mistake.
Sorry, bro. Mind dialed you. So at this point, we're in the realm of predictions and thought experiments. And I have to ask you guys, and I have to ask everyone listening, do we have any predictions for 2022? Any hot takes?
Well, I got one from this story we're talking about. It's in 2022, there's going to be an announcement that we're developing the first mechs that will have human neuropilots. Who will actually be attached and controlled with their minds. That's going to happen. It's going to be an announced thing, but it won't come out for, you know, five, Amazing. 6 years.
And because of the neural load, they'll have to be co-piloted, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of Pacific Rim.
I wish
there was a third Pacific Rim. It's so great. Giant monsters, giant robots. God, yeah. What a great prediction. Matt, I hope you're right.
My second prediction, I'm just going to do two in a row and then I'll be done.
Nostradamus.
The CME that I've been predicting for, you know, years now is going to come.
That's coronal mass ejection. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to happen. It's going to wipe out all the mechs that are in development.
Dang. So it's a zero sum game.
What an emotional roller coaster with just two predictions.
Holy
cow. What about you, Noel? What do you got?
I'm thinking full Mad Max post-apocalypse kind of situation. Guzzoline becomes the new currency. You know, utter dust bowl sweeping across the globe. You know, weird face-masked warlords that we have to worship. Shiny and chrome in 2022.
Ooh. Where is the Thunderdome located?
We'll get to that.
Okay,
it'll be in a very you won't be able to miss it, Matt.
Okay. I picture like a chain, like a franchise of Thunderdomes, you know. But okay, so a little bit dystopian, but you know that feels like an honest one. maybe it'll be a slow incremental decline, but shout out to all those theories about the expiration date of empires. I'm pretty sure Russia is on some around and find out with the Ukraine. I don't think they're going to take the entirety of the country. But, you know, as you know, at least we talked about this off air, Crimea was until like 1954 considered part of Russia. It wasn't until Stalin, quote unquote, gifted it that it became part of or officially part of Ukraine. And I believe that right now the bellicose signals that Russia is sending, they're doing something very dangerous, which we always need to watch out for in international politics. They are presenting a case of self-defense. They are framing this as though NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is encroaching, and they're setting it up, at least they're attempting to set it up as being something like, we, Russia, have to protect ourselves from these aggressive imperialistic warmongers. And of course, you know, that's not the perspective of most people in Ukraine. It's not the perspective of most people in NATO. But yeah, I think that's a flashpoint to look out on. Also, China and India, the border disputes may have left Western news, but they're still very much in play. That's another flashpoint. I would say also we're going to see more artificial intelligence or machine learning applied to entertainment industries, like albums coming out with a AI producer / DJ, and it'll be kind of a gimmick.
There's a lot of people doing that in NFT form. Actually, a buddy of mine who goes by Drum Operator on Instagram, he's also the drummer for this band called Bit Brigade that does like live soundtracks of Nintendo games while a dude like speedruns it. He's making all of these generative music NFTs. It's a little over my head, but he's been in this space for a hot minute. And pretty cool. It's actually a useful type of NFT and not just a dumb, lazy lion or stupid monkey.
I'll just run these last three by you guys real quick.
Can I shoot one in between?
Yeah.
This is a real one. The other two being silly. This is real. Ooh. Because of problems with Evergrande and several other major property developers in China and the free fall that's occurring right now and has been for the past several months in the property market in China, I think there's going to be global effects from that. And I think there's going to be another property crash or value crash, like globally, or at least within the United States, as a result of that. Seriously.
Yeah. Well said. Check out our episode on the problem of foreign investment in real estate. I think we did an okay job not being uber nationalistic about it or anything, but yeah, that will be a continuing problem. We are going to see climate crises. I don't know if the Maldives will go underwater just yet, but it is currently in the running to be the first country that will no longer have its original physical territory. It might have to become an exclave. COVID will still be around. It's weird how quickly things become normalized for people. There will probably, unfortunately, be some political assassinations. That's just sort of par for the course. Inequality will accelerate. It's happening. Climate refugees are already a thing. One prediction, because I'm endeavoring to be positive, one prediction I can have that I can say with certitude, and it's one that I think will make all of us happy, is I predict that if you are listening to this, you will write to us. You will contact us. We can't wait to hear from you. Matt, no, I'm pretty sure we're safe with that prediction, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if not, then you only have yourselves to blame. Not us. You guys.
Well,
You can make this prediction. No, Matt, no. Not this time. Standing up for you.
Well, so there we are. We want to hear your predictions for 2022. We want to hear your ideas about the future of right to repair. We want to hear your ideas about the future of increasingly embedded technology in humans. Are you for it or against it, as they used to say? And we are going to keep doing this show until the lights go out. I can't, you know, I'm thinking in macro level now, like what are we going to, look back on this episode in like the first week of 2023 and say something like, dang, Noel was super prescient on that Mad Max thing, or crap, Matt should be a real estate mogul because he called it.
No.
Well, we want to hear your predictions, folks. Get them in so we can share them with your fellow listeners, and then we'll meet back again this time next year, knock on wood, to see what ended up being true. How do I participate, you're saying?
Well, you can find us on social media, on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. We are Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show. Write in to tell us what year you think you're going to develop cancer because of all that Topo Chico you drank and all the PFAs in it. it'll be fine. I'll let you know my predictions if you write to it. I'm just joking. I won't. But that really was a kick in the pants reading about Topo Chico.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is life if not to be lived, Matt?
Yeah, and also right. Intensely disappointing.
Yeah. So if you don't like social media, you can also contact us via your voice and a phone.
That's right. You can reach us at 1-833-STDWYTK. Leave a message at the sound of Ben's dulcet tones. You've got 3 minutes. 3 minutes is your time and your time alone. Tell us a tale, a kooky one, a spooky one, whatever kind of tale you got. Just make sure to tell us what to call you and whether it's okay to use your voicemail on the air. And then you might hear yourself in one of our weekly listener mail episodes.
And if none of that quite rings in the new year for you, there is one way you can always contact us, regardless of the year, regardless of the time, regardless of your neck of the global woods. We'd love to hear from you at our email address. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.